I'd like to look this morning, take our text from Genesis 32. Thank you for the kind words. It's always it is an honor. Like I said in Sunday school, it's always an honor to preach in any one of the Lord's churches, because they are very special. They are it's a great honor. It's a fearful thing to stand and to preach the Word of God. Rightly dividing the Word of God. So, you pray for me this morning that the Lord will give me the right words and help me to say the right things that He'd have said, and that He'd give me the ability to be able to preach this morning. Genesis 32, and we'll read verses 24 through 32. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be no more called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him, and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. This is an interesting passage of Scripture. The fact that that Jacob wrestled with God, that is just, it's hard to comprehend. It doesn't even make sense to my mind. I can't get a hold of that, how that Jacob wrestled with God. But he says that Jacob said that that he'd seen God face to face, and that he lived. And that angel that brought the presence of God said that that as a prince he had power with God and with men. That's amazing, the thought that of this. And as we begin to think about this, but that'll be my subject today, is wrestling with God. Wrestling with God. You know, well, I guess before we get into that, the introduction of that, let's just clarify one thing. Jacob couldn't have wrestled with God unless God had allowed him to, unless God had initiated it, unless God had given him the ability to wrestle with him. This is very similar to a father and his son, and they're out having some sort of a contest, a race, or with a small child, a race, or playing basketball or whatever, and the father lets him win, you know. It's a lot like that. God gave him the strength to do what he did here. Although I don't think we can understand all that's here, we can understand there's some principles and some things that we can understand from this. But basically, the subject of the message will be the blessings of God don't always come easy. They don't always come easy. You know, we live in a day and a time where we think that things ought to be easy. Everything in this country ought to come easy to us. We have this mentality. We live in America, things just should come easy. If it doesn't come easy, we'll just get rid of it. You know, if our house isn't big enough for us, we'll get a different one. If our car isn't shiny enough, we'll get a new one. You know, if our spouse doesn't make us happy, we'll just go marry somebody else. You know, we live we have this mentality. It seems to me that in this country today, that it just, if it's not easy and if I don't like it, I'll just get a new one. I'll get a better one. I'll get a bigger one. And so we have that kind of a problem today. And when we bring, apply that to religion, that way of thinking, people think that religion ought to make them feel good. That it ought to do something for them. That they're coming to get something out of church. You know, I'm thinking of a lost person, basically. And they're coming to walk through the doors and they want, "Well, what do you got for me today? What can you give to me? What can you do for me?" And they come with this mentality. And when you present the Word of God, and the Word of God, you know, says that, "Thus saith the Lord," and we have some responsibility to God, and we need to, and when you start preaching the truth of the Word of God, They don't want that. That's not easy. That doesn't make me feel good. That's not warm and fuzzy. This is not what I mean. I didn't come to have this. And you think about that. That's why, you know, you have these these TV preachers in these mega churches, you know. I think of that Joel Osteen, that guy, he's been on 60 Minutes and stuff. He fills a football stadium with people. And what he tells them, everything's going to be good. You're going to have lots of money, you know. You're going to be healthy. God just wants to bless you, and you're going to have an easy, wonderful life. And these people just love it. They say, yes, that's what I want. You know, the Bible tells us that those times are going to come when men aren't going to endure sound doctrine. And they're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That means I want a teacher that tells me what I want to hear. I want a teacher that makes me feel good. I want somebody that tells to me that makes me, that tells me it's going to be good and easy, and God just wants to bless me. And he doesn't care how I live. I can live any way I want, and God just figures on blessing me anyway. And so we live in that time, in that mentality. And we have that problem when we come to somebody and we begin to teach them the truth of the Word of God, and we say, you know, we stand in the Word of God and we believe what God says, and we want to hear what God has to say. And a lot of people are turned away by that. They say, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear how God's just going to pour out his blessings on me and just make me happy, and I'm going to have no problems in my life, and I'm just going to have this easy life. You know, that's what they want to hear. And those men that will stand and say those things and tell lies to the people, they'll fill buildings full of people, and then they'll make them twice over the child of hell. You know, they'll make them feel great about going to hell. I mean, and they won't tell them the truth. They won't give them, you know, the fact that they've sinned before a holy and righteous God, that they need to be saved. And they won't present that basic fact of the gospel to them. And then beyond that, they won't present the truths of grace and the truths of the church and the things that the Word of God teaches that we need. I mean, these things are in the Word of God because we need them. We need these things. We need to be taught about grace, that we might learn how to live a good life, that we might serve God in a right way, that we might be able to worship God the way we ought to. You can't worship God the way you ought to until you know who he is. You know how that he saved you. You know how that he, by his grace and by his ability, he saved you. And it causes you to worship him. It humbles you, and it causes you to adore him for his power. And it casts aside your pride and your I did something. It just gets rid of all that garbage, and you're able to worship him. And the Bible says that we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, we've got to have the truth of the Word of God to be able to worship him rightly. Then we learn the truths about the Lord's church. We learn how that the Lord started a church during his earthly ministry, and that we... That is the place that where he expects us to come and worship him, in his church, in his kind of church. You know, he expects us to come and to hear, and to preach the truth and to assemble in an orderly manner. And he's built his church to do his work and carry out his commission. And he's made that for us. We need that. The Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know, that's what church is for, that we might assemble together, that we might be built up. It's not just to come and feel good. It's not just to get a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's to learn the Word of God and apply it to our life and then take that out into the world and be able to preach the gospel and to be able to teach somebody else and to be able to lead somebody else to Christ, and that they might come to the truths of the Word of God, that they might have the things that we have, that we may be able to lead them to those things and bring them to those things. But some of these things aren't easy. I mean, most people just don't accept these things easy. They think that these are, I don't want that. I just want you to tell me how it's going to be all okay. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to have money. I'm going to be healthy. I'm never going to have any problems. That's what they want. This is what they're looking for. And so they come with this mentality, and we deal with it, with these things. But we're to teach the truth of the Word of God. And sometimes in our walk with God, it's going to be hard. There's going to be some hard things coming to our lives. We're going to have to wrestle with God. We can see that from this passage, that Jacob had to wrestle with God. There wasn't, this particular blessing came with wrestling. God chose to bless Jacob through this wrestling match. And we don't understand all that went on, but we can see that he wasn't blessed until he prevailed, until he hung on, until he received the blessing. And so the blessings of God don't always come easy. Now, the first obvious question that comes to mind is, why the wrestling match? Couldn't God just have blessed him? Couldn't God just have given him the name Israel and blessed him just the same as without the wrestling match? Couldn't he have done that? Well, certainly he could. God can do whatever he chooses, but for God's reasons, he chose to bless him through this wrestling match. He chose to bless him through this struggle this time of struggle and pain and wrestling. And this is how God chose to bless him. We see that, you know, many times in our lives God blesses us without a struggle. Most of the time, grace. We have so much grace and mercy of God. He just most of the time just dumps out the blessings on us. He just pours out things on us that we so don't deserve. He just dumps it out on us, and we receive those kind of blessings. But once in a while, he blesses us through a struggle, through a time of hardship. We see that Jacob many times, in verses 9 and 10. Of 32, Genesis 32, he says, let me get there. He says in verse 9, and Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and the God of my father Isaac, the Lord which says unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed me unto thy servant. We ought to be able to say that this morning. I'm not worthy of all the mercies and all the truth that God has showed us this morning. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I'm become two bands. Jacob left. The only thing he had was a staff in his hand. He didn't have anything. He left. He came back. Now he was two bands. The Lord had just poured blessings out on Jacob. He'd blessed him with family, with riches of the day, you know, cattle and flocks. You know, he was a rich man for that day. And he came back and he was blessed. And he as he came back, he said, he had to divide himself up into two bands. He realized that all of a sudden. As he came back, he divided himself up and he said, I've become two bands. And he realized, you know, that God, how much God had blessed him. And we see that and where we started off with our reading in the text was he began to pray. And that night he was praying, and then and that night God came and wrestled with him. But we see that many times in our life, and most of the time, God just pours out blessings on us. And we sing this song, you know, count your blessings. I mean, when we sit and think about the things that God has done for us, we just get overwhelmed, you know. And when we realize it, we often go along and don't realize it. We often go along and just forget about it, don't take it for granted, don't think about it. But when we sit down and think about the way God's blessed in our lives, you'll be overwhelmed. It'll overwhelm you. It'll cause you to worship God. It'll cause you to have thanksgiving in your heart. It'll cause you to want to sing and sing praises to the Lord. And you just consider him. And you know, that's the basis where worship starts, is thankfulness to God. You begin to thank God and think about him and think about all he is and all he's done. And you just begin to be overwhelmed by God, where you can't contain it. And you begin to worship and just praise the Lord for all he's done and who he is. But this particular time, Jacob, the Lord chose a blessing with a struggle. Now, there are some blessings that God gives to his children that come no other way, that can come no other way but than through a struggle. There are things like experience. You know, as a child of God, when we first start out our walk as a Christian, when the Lord saves a person, you don't know a whole lot, and you don't really know how to walk by faith. You're just kind of a mess sometimes, and you pray the Lord, and he gives you more and more experience, and he'll bring you a little bitty trial when you're young, and he'll lead you through that trial, and you say, wow, he led me through that, and it'll strengthen your faith, it'll strengthen your experience with walking with God, and he'll bring you to a little bigger trial and a little bigger trial, and then as you go, sometimes he'll just throw a bomb on you, and just bring you a big trial. But through that, you're going to gain experience. You're going to gain faith. You're going to trust in him. You're going to learn how to lean on him. You're going to learn what it means to have sustaining grace in your life. You're going to learn what it means to lean on God and trust in him wholly, and not be relying on yourself all the time. You're going to learn what it means to rely on him. Those blessings can't come any other way than through a struggle. He chooses to initiate a wrestling match sometimes that we have to struggle. It'll teach us patience. It'll teach us how to be close to God. There's nothing that'll bring you closer to God than a struggle. I mean, when he brings you a struggle, you're going to be close to him. When he brings you something hard, you're going to lean on him. You're going to be close, because you're going to need to be, and he's going to bring you to that place where you're going to lean on him. there's something that else, that there's some really important things and some great blessings he gives. He'll give you a testimony. He'll give you the ability to minister to somebody else that's going through the same trial. You're going to have something. You're going to have a blessing. You're going to have an ability that you didn't have before to be able to say, the Lord took me through that. The Lord gave me the grace to stand through that. He gave me what I needed to go through that struggle. He blessed me. He carried me. He upheld me. And he gave me the strength to make it through that. And you're going to be able to testify to the next person and minister to the next person that he carried me through that. Turn for a minute to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul's exhorting Timothy. He's been telling Timothy, there's going to be some hard things in serving God. There's going to be some hard things come. And he says in verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You're going to learn how to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus when you're going through a struggle or through a hard time. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're going to have to endure some hardness sometimes as a child of God. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier. And if a man strive also for the masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You know that the Lord happened to, one time I was, it seems like sometimes that men will use this particular verse out of context, that in verse 6 it says, the husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits, and they'll say, well, that means that you need to pay your pastor. I don't think that's what that means. I think that means that the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. I think that means that in order for you to have some seeds to sow in a garden, you're going to have been made partaker of a previous harvest. You're going to have those things to be able to sow those things. In other words, if you're going to minister to somebody, you're going to have went through some things, and you're going to have some things to be able to minister. You're going to have been made a partaker of those fruits to be able to minister those kind of fruits. And so he says that, Timothy, you're going to have to be a partaker of these things. He started out, the context was, you're going to have to endure some hardness. You're going to have to be a partaker in order to be able to be a minister of those things. I think that's what that's talking about. But that's a blessing that he gives, is ability to minister to somebody else. So one of the greatest things there is. One of the greatest things, we don't realize it when we're going through the trials and through the things and the struggles we go through. But I think about, most of you know the Krause family. I love the Tom and Karen Krause and Thomas and Megan. But they lost their son Josh. You know, the Lord took him in a car crash, and to watch them go through the trial is amazing. You see how God holds people up. It just, their testimony, it helps everybody else. It just, though you don't want to see them go through it, it just amazes you to see how they continue to serve God, how they continue to stand, how they continue to just to keep going on, to get up every morning, get up every day, and just go through another day. It's amazing that God gives them the grace to do that. And that's a blessing. And that blessing doesn't come any other way than through that struggle. Through that trial, you can't have it any other way. We don't desire these things. We don't desire to have that kind of a blessing, quite honestly. Usually we don't want that. I want that blessing, Lord. I really don't want that. You can keep that one. It's good that he is sovereign, and we don't know sometimes how he's going to bless us. But he will bless us with some things like that and give us an ability that we really didn't want. But we'll have a blessing through a trial that we would have gotten no other way, and that nobody else can have but you. It's your blessing. It's yours to bear. It's yours to be able to have and to help somebody else with. It's your ability to minister. You're going to have something that other people aren't going to have, and you're going to have something that other people aren't going to quite understand until they go through it. You're going to have a closeness with God and the grace that God gives you that other people aren't going to quite understand. But they're going to be able to see how that God has helped you, and they're going to have strength when it comes to their time. They're going to say, the Lord gave them strength. He'll give me strength. And the Lord bless them and help them. He's going to help me too. You know that old saying, easy come, easy go. That's the way it is with a lot of things in our life. If it comes easy, we don't appreciate it. We just don't appreciate the things that are easy. We just take them for granted. The things that come hard, those are the things we appreciate. Those are the things that we hang on to. You know, the doctrine that comes easy, we don't appreciate it. The doctrine that comes with a struggle, if you have to choose between family and a doctrine of the Lord, if you have to choose between the church where your family goes and the Lord's church, if you have to make those kind of decisions, if it's a struggle, if it's a wrestling match for that doctrine, to stand in the Word of God, you're going to treasure the doctrine. You're going to hold to that doctrine. You know, the Lord took us through some of those kind of things. Where we were saved, in I call it a Baptistic church because it's like a Baptist, but it's not a Baptist. Okay, I believe to be a Baptist, you need to be started by a Baptist church, and that's a church. Okay, but He saved us there. The Lord's grace, you know, merciful, and He will save if the gospel is preached. He saved us there, but when we were there, the Lord brought a different man there that taught grace, and the Lord taught us grace, and the entire rest of that group rejected grace. So we, in our family, was there, so we had to say either we stand in the Word of God or we go with our family. Well, when the Lord shows you something, you can't do anything but follow Him. How could you turn away? When Peter said, "Where else could we go?" Peter told the Lord, when He said, "Will you also go away?" Well, we can't go away. Where could we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. When the Lord shows you His word and He reveals it to you, where can you go? You have to go with Him, and you wouldn't go anywhere else. But that kind of a truth, nobody can take it away from you. No false teacher can teach you anything different. Nobody will ever remove that from you. That's something the Lord gave you through a struggle, and it won't be removed easily. You won't lose that. And He does that with many different things, but He sometimes chooses to bless through a struggle or a wrestling match. The second thing we see is that wrestling with God changed Jacob. It changed him. He wasn't the same after that day. He wasn't the same. His name changed from Jacob to Israel. His walk in this world changed. He walked with a limp from then on. He limped from that time on. You know, sometimes through the struggles that come to our life, they're going to affect us physically, and we're going to have to limp in this world. But sometimes when we limp in this world, we're going to be spiritually blessed. We're going to be walking spiritually rather than physically. Sometimes, sometimes to be blessed spiritually, we're going to have to limp physically in this world. We're not always going to be, we're not always going to be the most prosperous person in the world physically, because we're going to give up a lot of things that the world runs after. We're going to give up a lot of those things and follow after spiritual things. And when we do that, we're not going to be that. We're going to kind of limp along in this world. We're not going to be the kind of a prosperous person sometimes that the rest of the world, the lost world, we look around and say, well, why are they so blessed? And they're not really blessed. They got physical stuff. We got spiritual treasure. I mean, who cares about the physical stuff? We got spiritual treasures. We got things that the Lord gives us. We have conviction. You know what a blessing it is to be convicted about the truths of the Word of God? You know, people run around, they don't have conviction. They don't care about God. They don't care about His word. The Lord has blessed us with conviction of His word. He's given us desire to serve Him. That's a blessing that is worth the limp in the world. But we see that after Jacob spent time with God, it changed him. You know, let's apply that first of all to salvation. We've got a lot of people running around the world today claiming to be saved that don't walk a bit differently than they did when they said that they went through that experience with God. When they say that they met the Lord and they just go on their way, you barely even can tell it didn't ruffle their feathers or nothing. They just continue on the way that they were. That is not salvation. That is absolutely not salvation. Repentance comes with faith. A changed life will come when God saves you. He will work in you, and he will make you a different person. He will make you a new creature. He will cause you to go the opposite way that you once went. He will change your life. He will take all of those plans that you once had and scatter those and cause you to want to go the other way, and he will make a new life and a new plan for you. You will begin to serve him rather than self. And so your life will be changed. Number one, from that first time that you meet with God, that is a wrestling match. That first time when God begins to work in your heart, he begins to wrestle with you. You don't begin to wrestle with God. There's no one ever went out and decided, I'm going to wrestle with God. God initiates the wrestling match. You see this from this scripture, that God initiated this. God, he was the one that he said, I'm going to go down and wrestle with Jacob because I want to give him something through this. And the salvation is just like that. God comes down in your life one day, you're going along and you're going on your way. And he comes down in your life one day and says, and he just stops you. And he begins to wrestle with you. And he begins to work in you. And he begins to give you some truths that begin to work. And he begins to work in your heart. He begins to convict you and cause you to think about your soul. He begins to think about your state with God. You begin to think that I'm not right with God. You know, what he did with me is he saved my wife first. She came home the first day that she was saved, and she said, you need to be saved. You're going to the lake of fire. And I said, you're nuts. But that never left me. That worked on me, and every time that I would get alone and begin to think, I would realize I'm going to hell. I'm going to die and go to hell. And that worked on me. And it took a year or so in a dynamite blast and a rock upside the head to get my attention. But the Lord got my attention. And he said, and he instituted a wrestling match with me. And he wrestled with me for a year or so. And after that year or so, he brought me into that little Baptistic church, sat me down, and the man just told me about Jesus. He just told me about Jesus. And I said, why hasn't anybody ever told me that before? And it was because the Lord opened my eyes to it. He gave me understanding, and he caused me to call upon him, and he saved me. You see, but a wrestling match, the Lord initiates. He initiates those things. Salvation is a wrestling match, and it will change your life. From that day forward, your life will be different. You do not walk the same in this world after God meets with you. You will not be the same person after he saves your soul. You will not go on the way that you were. You may stumble and fall. Yes, you may have a day or two where you mess up. You may fall into sin for a while. That's why we have church discipline in our Bible. That might bring that person back out of that, or that we might see that they were truly lost. But your life will be changed if you've truly met with God, if he's truly saved you. You'll be a different person. Your walk in this world is going to be different. The things that God teaches you when you meet with him like that, you know, when he teaches you doctrine, it changes your life. The doctrine of election, that changed my life. I mean, salvation changed my life, but the doctrine of election and learning his grace, that taught me who God was. That really taught me who he was. What kind of God that I serve. What kind of God that I'm dealing with. What kind of life I ought to live. It just changes it radically changes your life when you understand God, who he is. You need to understand who he is. You need to learn and grow. You know, that's why a Christian is to grow and to learn and to read his Bible and come to church so he can learn about God and learn who he is. You know, when you learn about the Lord's church, that changes your life. You go from going to church on Sunday thinking that's serving the Lord to, you know, living a life for God, to being taught the truths of the Word of God, to serving him and desiring to serve him. Many of these things that the Lord will teach us and call us to changes your life. You know, in kind of a side note or an example, but when God does things in your life like that, it makes you more beautiful. Those that look on they're going to just plain know. They're going to see there's going to be something in you that just, it causes them to worship God. When they see how God worked in you, it causes them to worship God. They just, because they see how God is working in you. And it just, it works on them. It works on a person. But when God does that with you, he's making you more valuable to him. When he's working on you, he's making you more able to serve him, more able to be used by him. I think about, just by way of an example, I've got this old, my dad, he had a, he's got this old shotgun that he, it was out in his pole barn. And it's old, it was broke, it wouldn't work. He took it to a guy and he wanted him to fix it. The guy said, that's junk. Well, I said, my dad says, you, if you want it, you can take it. So I took it home. It's a double barrel shotgun and the stock's gone off it, and the things that make the triggers cock were broken. I messed around with it and got the thing to work and things, but I began to look at the stock and buy, to buy a new stock for the thing. Well, you think about, you know, say you were like Brother Kevin cutting wood, you know. When you're cutting wood, you want wood that's got a nice straight grain, you know, so you can cut it. It's easy to work with. You split it and you throw it in the fire. It's not real valuable. You just want it for firewood, you know. You just want it to burn. You know, like somebody that was going to build a house, they'd want a 2x4 with no knots in it. They'd want a straight grain thing and just good straight piece of wood. And but these stock makers love wood with knots and twists and turns, and they love the stuff with all this stuff. And they'll sell these just chunk of wood for $2,000, a chunk of wood that long and this big, because that tree's been it's been through some things. That tree's had some struggles to grow in its life, and it's had some twists and some turns and some knots, and those things make that thing beautiful. When they shine that up, when they polish that up, and they put it to use for what they're making it for, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. God does that with our lives. He takes us through some things, and he polishes us up, and he makes us beautiful. And when he puts us to the use that he wants us to do, it makes our life beautiful. And when we let God do that, when God does that in us, it's a blessing to us, to those around us, and it's just, it makes us very valuable to God. Certainly we're already valuable, but it makes us valuable to the service of God. And he'll take us through those things, but it'll change us when we wrestle with God. Thirdly, and probably most importantly, Jacob prevailed. You know that God initiated this wrestling match with Jacob so that he would prevail, so that he would be blessed. He wrestled with him to let him win. God's intention was that Jacob would be blessed through this. That he initiated this thing that Jacob would win. You know, when God begins to wrestle with us, he doesn't intend to beat us. He doesn't intend to crush us. He doesn't intend to ruin us. He intends to bless us. He intends that we would come out of that thing, you know, prevailing. That our life would be changed. That we become this useful thing, this useful servant to him. This is what he intends when we go through a trial, a struggle. He doesn't intend to beat us. He intends to let us win. You know, you think about Jacob. He wrestled all night with God. He was tired, but he didn't give up, did he? He wouldn't let go. He hung on. Obviously, we understand that by the grace of God, he was able to hang on, but he didn't give up. The hollow of his thigh was put out of joint or shrank. You know, he was in pain, but he didn't give up. He'd walk. I would assume he probably walked the rest of his life with a limp because this thing, it shrunk. I don't really know what part of it. It was his thigh. The hollow of his thigh. Probably, I don't really know what it was. Probably a muscle of some sort, but it shrank. It says it was a sinew and it shrank. So he probably limped the rest of his life. You know, it changed the way that he walked in this world. It says that when he went across that Peniel, that he halted upon his thigh. He limped. He'd walk the rest of his life with a limp, but that would remind him of his time that he'd spent with God, wrestling with God. And everywhere he walked, people would know that he'd spent time with God. His name forever changed. He wasn't just old Jacob anymore. He was Israel, the one that would rule and reign with God. He was Israel. Forever, his name would change. And when God works on us, when he does things to our lives, we're going to be changed. People are going to forever say, that ain't the old guy anymore. This is a new guy. This is somebody different. This is a new person. God's done something in their life, and your name will change. You know, the words, the spelling may not change, but to the way that people see you, you will be a changed person. Your name will change to them. That you won't be the same person that you were. You know, if God has initiated a wrestling match with you this morning, He intends that you're going to prevail. That's His intention. He intends you're going to be blessed. I know I sound like one of those health and wealth preachers, don't I? But listen, if he's brought you to that struggle, He intends to bless you through that. He intends that your life's going to be changed and that you're going to receive a blessing at His hand. Though we don't desire difficulty and we often avoid pain and loss with all of our power, may we be submitted to the will of God for our lives and be ready to wrestle with God and not let go or give up until we receive the blessing that God intends for us. We need to just be submitted to God. We certainly don't desire these hard things to come, but they will come. But when they come, we need to just remember that the Lord intends to do something with us. He intends to bless our lives through it. He intends to make us a useful vessel to be able to minister to somebody else. We're going to be made this beautiful thing through the trial that we go through.